Lord, save us. Many of you here cried that out years ago, didn't you? Lord, save us. And you know, as we look forward and we see what's happening in our world, what's happening in our country, what's happening in general, trying to erase God, he will never be erased. He will have the final word. His final word is Jesus Christ. And so, as we sing the next song, realize that God is not done yet. That everything's working towards his desire. It may get rough in the meantime. It may get a little bumpy, but he's still in control. Amen?
Amen.
See you.
This is an oldie but a goodie. Rejoice, rejoice, the Lord is King. Amen. Now listen, years ago I officiated at a wedding out in Akron, Ohio, and the pastor of the church, we co-officiated together. He got up before his congregation, and they were a fairly established congregation. And he says, you have a choice today. You can either be part of the frozen chosen. You know what that means? Emotionalless, you know. Or you can be part of the rejoicing brethren. It's our choice. Rejoice. The Lord is King. Singing, you may be seated. For our responsive reading today, I should say reading together today, Chip is going to lead you in Psalm 118. I got to come up there because I have to switch the slides for him. Psalm.
This one.
There you go. Psalm 118 is what's called a messianic psalm. It was a prophecy about Christ the King. And so I think you'll pick up some shades in here of what was prophesied for Palm Sunday. So Chip, would you lead us, please?
Sure. So Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey as the Prince of Peace, knowing full well that all the people cheering for him will revile him a couple days after that. Read with me, brothers and sisters. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for only you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is our God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Joey, if you can hear me, in my case, in my office, my computer case, is my tablet, if you can get it for me. Sunday mornings, I become an airhead, so excuse me for a second. In our prayer today, I really feel led. We need to pray during this time. I'm going to put this as gently as possible. The psychological pressures of the pandemic have been now coming out in a lot of ways. Unfortunately, it's coming out in some domestic violence. It's coming out with children. The suicide rate among children is high now, much too high. And I think the reason for that is the lack of socialization and the feeling of, well, who do you believe anymore? Thank you, Chip. I appreciate it. Okay. I want to pray also for our law enforcement, especially those down at the southern border. They have a tough job right now, a real tough job. And I think in some senses they feel like they may have been abandoned, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for our local law enforcement, and we need to pray for our leaders, starting with the president, praying that our leaders would come back to look to the Bible for wisdom and how to govern. If you ever want to do a great study on your own, study the book of Nehemiah, and you will see how Nehemiah had influence in a government that was, for all intents and purposes, kind of corrupt, and how God used Nehemiah to bring change in all of that. So as we go to prayer, let's pray. I'll lead you, join in your hearts, and I want to especially remember families and children today, okay? Let's pray. Father, as we come today and hear the word save us, Hosanna, and praising our King, Father, we need to remember that he's the King of Peace. Father, the home life of believers especially should be a place of peace. It should be a place of safety, shelter, rest, and renewal. Father, I pray for families. I know there's a lot of economic pressures and psychological pressures that COVID has brought upon people. Some are still not back to work. Some are working remote. Some, Father, are out of a job totally. And the pressures that brings, Father, is incredible. So we want to lift families up before you, that you would sustain them, provide for them in every way. I pray for the children, the young people, the high schoolers, the college people. Father, that they would look to you for wisdom and your security. Look to Jesus Christ. May this time be used to deepen relationships with Christ. And Father, I pray for our young people that instead of a sense of hopelessness, you give them hope. That they would realize fresh and anew that you're still in charge and you love them. Pray for our law enforcement, Father, particularly down at the southern border. Pray that you keep them safe. They're ministering to people, Father, who are coming in with all sorts of illnesses and all sorts of issues, Father. We just pray your hedge of protection around them. Pray, Father, that they know that people are praying for them. Keep them safe. Help them to do their jobs well and effectively. I pray for our local law enforcement, Father. Every time they report for duty, they put their lives on the line. I don't care where they are, whether it's New York City, Philadelphia, or suburbia, New Jersey. Father, we just ask that you watch over them. And Father, I pray for our president, our vice president, that you would just not let them rest until they start to look to your word for guidance and look to your word, not as just a guidebook, but the final word and the final authority. I pray that for those in Congress and in the Senate. I pray for our governor in the same way in our state legislature. Father, we need revival in your churches, and we need spiritual awakening in this country. Father, would you see fit to send a move of your Holy Spirit? And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look to a passage, we're going to be in John 12 today. And in John 12, it's only a few verses, but they're important verses. The account of what we call the triumphant entry of Jesus is in all four of the Gospels. And we're not going to look at all four today, but you can do that on your own. But we're going to stick to John primarily today, and then look at a piece of Luke. Luke adds something there that I think a lot of people miss. Let me take this off. This passage provoked a question in my mind. What prevents people from trusting Christ? That's a hard question, isn't it? All right? What prevents people from trusting Christ? And we're going to look at some of those answers in a second. But as we consider this, I need to set the stage for you, all right? And you'll find out why in a minute. Have you ever looked for something and couldn't find it even though it was in front of you? Okay? Particularly men, right? They look in the refrigerator, right? Right. Where's the milk? It's behind the milk. You know, I mean, we do this all the time. Perhaps you look for your house keys or car keys, your wallet, purse, your eyeglasses, sunglasses, and finally you discovered they were right in front of you. The funniest thing I ever see is, what you know, for those of us who wear glasses or sunglasses, people go crazy looking for them, and they're right on top of your head, right? We can miss the obvious many times. And part of that is because of cultural factors. The average attention span right now is 15 seconds. That's the average attention span. Part of it is because we have so much on our mind. We're thinking about other things. But the Apostle John gives great insights into how we can miss trusting the Savior who came to rescue us. Now, I want to read this passage before you, before we unpack it. And as we do that, I want you to pay close attention to three groups of people, okay? Here we go. The next day, the crowd that had come to the festival, this is the Passover, right, had heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Whoops, sorry. It says they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd was with him, and when they called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead and continued to spread the word, so a lot of these people saw Lazarus being raised from the dead, right? Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees, not my favorite group of people, so the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Well, we're going to unpack this a little bit. Do you remember years ago, there was a Zeffirelli did a really good, I think a really good job on a miniseries called Jesus of Nazareth. He followed pretty much the Gospel of Luke. And it was on television. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I haven't seen it on television this year, which almost doesn't mean nothing because television doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. But and they had some high-power actors in there. And I'm saying to myself, I wonder if they knew even what they were saying. And you begin to wonder, you know, what blinds us, you know, from the truth. Now, listen, I was there too at one time, and so were you. But we really have to take stock in this. And so before we criticize the people too hasty or too readily, we have to understand that we belong to one of these three groups that we're going to look at in a minute. And only the Holy Spirit was the one who opened our hearts to the truth. And so, let me look at this with you. First, we see the sensationalist people. And I'm using the word sensationalist purposely. You know what a sensationalist person is? It's a person who looks for the next big, better thing. It's a person who lives on, how can I say this? The fireworks, the light shows, and you know, the ambiance of a arena. I'll give you some examples. All right, listen. I show my age here, but I think that it's the truth. Some years ago, when a singer or an actor came on the scene, they were pretty well judged by the quality of their voice or the quality of their acting. Right now, it's whoever puts on the best show. Doesn't matter if you have a voice like a screeching cat or, you know, or whatever, but it's whoever puts on the best show. You know, this started really taking effect in the Super Bowls, right? They put on these big shows. Sometimes they were gross, but they put on these big shows. It's in our commercials. It's in our culture. It's in the churches. It's in the churches. I talk to a lot of people, and when I talk to people who I know have gone from church to church, I'll say to them, you know, why'd you decide to go to this church? Oh, they have a great praise band. Well, wrong answer. Well, why did you go to church? Oh, I had one guy say this to me. I walked into this church. It looked like a television studio. They had great sound, great cameras, great effects. And I said, let me understand this. Is that why you go to church? Well, yeah. I said, Lord, help us. Listen, I went to the great theologian Dennis DeMenis last Sunday. Mary Lou actually picked this out for me. This is great. It shows them coming out of church. And it says, the minister saying, thanks for coming today. Remember, next week is the food drive. Hello, Mitchells. That's Dennis's family, right? Glad to see you made it this morning. Look like you enjoyed the service, the minister says. Dennis says, it was a good service, Padre, but I think it's time to step it up a notch. Oh, really, the minister says? What do you suggest? He says, I'm thinking fog machine. The first crowd that we're going to look at is the crowd that had witnessed Jesus being raised from the dead by Christ. Their only interest was to see what Jesus was going to do next. He's going to do something even better? Wow, they weren't interested in Jesus. They were interested in the effects. I often hear people saying that, listen, this was told to me, not here, but in another church I ministered in, that there's got to be a wow factor in the service. A wow factor. I hate that phrase. Have any of you ever heard that phrase? All right? A wow factor. Listen, if the name Jesus Christ doesn't cause us to say wow, nothing will. He's the wow factor. Why is he the wow factor? Because he came to pay the price for a wretch like me. I wouldn't have done that. He did it in my place. And I'm saying, every time I think of that, I say, Lord, if I were you, I could have picked 50 other better people. Well, that's not what he's interested in. You know that. But when he called your name, he called your name. That the creator of the universe would call my name? That the creator of the universe would know how many hairs or lack of hairs we have on our head? That the creator of the universe knew me before I was conceived? This is amazing stuff. Here's the wow factor. Let me ask you a question. When you reflect back on your life and you see how God has worked in good times and bad times, isn't that a wow factor? Some of you are here this morning because of miracles. Some of you are here this morning because of miracles. There's your wow factor. Three people came to know Christ in Diego's class. That's a wow factor. Bible says when someone comes to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, there's a party in heaven. We need to learn how to celebrate. There's your wow factor. So here's the first group of people, right? And, you know, nothing frustrates me more than, you know, I've had people, since we've been here, I've had people come in. By the way, we're in our 10th year, right? I've had people come in here, they look around and they say, I don't know if I can stay. Well, okay, I mean, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to lock the doors. I'd rather, you know, a traditional church. I get that. But what were you looking for when you come in, right? Now listen, as I read Revelation and I see the seven letters to Revelation that Jesus dictated to the churches, it says, I walk among you. I don't care if you meet in the storefront. I don't care if you meet in a house. I don't care if you meet on a staircase. I'm with you. And then one church that started well, the church at Ephesus that started real well, got caught up in ministry and quite honestly, their own public relations. He says this. I have one thing against you. You've lost your first love. I stand outside the door. I'm knocking. If you let me in, I'll have communion with you. It's possible for a church to get so involved in this that Jesus is no longer lifted up. That we're promoting this wow factor of whatever it is that people, we think people are looking for. Isn't it true that sometimes what we look for is not what we need? Let's go to the second group of people. Some of the crowd, many of the crowd was saying, Hosanna, save us. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king who comes to Israel. This is a quote from the Old Testament. And it says Jesus found a young donkey, sat on it, and came into Jerusalem. As he comes in, the psalmist goes on to say, or the writer goes on to say, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on the colt. Now, the second group of people were looking for a militant king. They were looking for a king of war. They were looking for a king to come and liberate them from the Roman oppression, to defeat all the enemies of Israel. They were looking to have a king who would be their champion, a militant king. Well, they got the shock of their lives. And here's why. A militant king, after a great victory, would come riding in on a white horse. But instead, Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, a colt of a donkey. By the way, it's never been ridden before. And listen, in the culture of Jesus' time, a donkey was a noble animal. And kings would do this if they visited other kings to say, look, I'm not coming in a spirit of war. I'm coming in a spirit of peace. So what Jesus was doing by coming in to Jerusalem on that colt was declaring he was the King of Peace. The King of Peace. Listen. You know, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. During the college basketball playoffs, some of the other stations put some reruns of movies on. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Miss Congeniality. Did you ever see that one, right? Sandra Bullock. And she's an FBI agent going undercover. And she thinks the whole beauty pageant is a corny thing, because when they come to the point where it says, What would you like for our world? Everybody says world peace, right? And she kind of snickers at that and says, sure. The fact of the matter is there will never be world peace as long as people don't embrace Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the cross is an offense to pride. It's an offense to our sin, our rebellion against God, and it's offensive to our own goals many times. And if you don't believe that, I'll give you an example, okay? Not everybody that Jesus met when he was on earth followed him. You know that. Remember the rich young ruler. This man actually comes to Jesus and says, What do I need to do to enter eternal life? And Jesus knew that what was standing in the way was his pride and his love of material things. So Jesus says, very simple, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. But Lord, I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus was very gracious. He could have said, no, you haven't. But he stood his ground, and he said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the man walked away. Probably broke Jesus' heart. These people were expecting a different Jesus. These people were expecting, careful how I say this. These people were expecting a Jesus to do what they wanted him to do, and that was to liberate them from political opponents. Instead, the King of Peace comes to liberate us from the chains of our own sin. Isn't that true? Let me ask you, which is better? Which is better? To be a slave to our sin and have those chains bind us, or to have that sin nailed to the cross and come to Christ and be truly free, no matter who's in government, no matter what type of government's in place, but be truly free. There's your wow factor. So these people were disappointed when Jesus came in on a colt. They said, maybe it's just a ploy, you know, and he'll rise up and he'll defeat our enemies. No. Even the disciples, these men who walked 3.5 years with him, did not understand all this. They were right with him. They lived with him. And they didn't get it. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and these things had to be done to him. So the disciples were still in the clouds yet on this. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And again, they were just looking, you know, for the next great thing. Many people, because they had heard he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. And here's the third group of people. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Wow. Here were the Pharisees, the religious experts. These were the guys who looked good on the outside, but quite honestly were rotten on the inside. These are the guys who knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. What scriptures did they have? They had the Old Testament back then, right? Knew the prophecies, knew the Psalms, and missed the Messiah. Why? What blinded them? Their own pride, their own arrogance, and their own lust for power and control. Oh, you know, there are still Pharisees today. And when I say Pharisees, you know, even in the church, because sometimes we can make church a legalistic environment by which we put things on people that the Bible never puts on them, only because we think good Christians don't do certain things. In other words, if you're a good Christian, you have to have the King James Version. Or if you're a good Christian, you can't play cards. If you're good, and you know what I'm saying, this is a little Mickey Mouse stuff. But why do we put this stuff in there? Basically, when we add man-made laws to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, we're creating an environment where we're elevating ourselves above everybody else. Look at me. Look at me. Good Christians don't go to movies. No, they just watch them in their houses. You know? I mean, it just gets ridiculous after a while. The Pharisees, with the exception of a few, missed it. They missed it. I want to go to Luke's account. Let me get there. It starts at verse 37. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Chapter 19, verse 37. Says, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" Right? In other words, tell them to shut up, teacher. You know? First of all, they're ignoring us, the religious experts, and they're paying a lot of attention to you. No, we have the power here, Jesus, not you. What does Jesus reply? "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones would cry out." Wow. And look at this. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" Jesus wept. He wept. He came in, he proclaimed himself for the first time in his ministry, King. King of the Jews. But he also proclaimed himself the King of Peace. The King of Peace. And Jesus wept because he was right there. And almost everybody rejected him. I think Jesus is still weeping today. I really do. This is why, church, we could never, ever be so complacent that we stop sharing the gospel with people. Now listen. All you need to do is tell your own story. That's all you need to do. Well, I don't know scripture real well. Well, you don't need to. It helps if you do, but you don't need to. My question to you is, do you know Jesus real well? Well, I'm afraid if somebody asks me a question, so what? Let them ask you a question. If you don't know the answer, guess what you need to tell them? I really don't know. But I can find out for you. It's not rocket science. Personally, I believe that since last March, Satan's been having a field day because the church had been put down. And the witness of the church has been hampered. Only now can, if you feel the freedom to, and if you, health-wise, you know, you can go to a restaurant. You can, you know, you can start to have relationships again. Listen, listen. What the world needs now is not a militant king. What the world needs now is the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the world needs now is to know that it is our sin, our rebellion against God, that keeps us a prisoner to ourselves. And what's the consequences of that sin? If we don't come to know Christ, we're going to spend an eternity in hell, separated from God and all hope of being saved. I don't care what programs the government puts in place. I don't care what programs the local officials put in place. Nothing will ever bring peace except when people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, by faith, and faith alone. Well, gee, Pastor, you know, that means we have to acknowledge our sin. Yeah, we need to acknowledge it and confess it. But the good news here is that Christ nailed it to the cross 2,000 years ago. He went there in my place, in your place, to pay the penalty in full. And then he offers us a free gift. Now, the gift wasn't free for him. It cost him his life. But he offers us the free gift that we need to receive by faith. If somebody today brought in a package with a bow on it and a gift and gave it, wanted to give it to one of you, right, what would you have to do to receive that gift? You'd have to actually receive it, right? If you left it here, what good is it? We need to invite people to come and know the gift and the King of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think it's a valid question when we meet people, which of the three groups do you belong to? I can tell you which group I belong to. You know, I belong to the group who, really not addressed here, but I would say the second group, who really didn't care. Really, that's the group I was in. I really didn't care at one point. And in this Easter season, where people seem to be a little bit more open to spiritual things, we need to be the ones that to come alongside of them and say, there is someone who loves you and was willing to die for you. His name was Jesus Christ. For those of us who embraced Jesus by faith alone, let's not fall into the trap of becoming complacent. You know, if you ever read C.S. Lewis's book, who's the one with Wormwood? Screwtape Letters, thank you. Screwtape Letters. He's training Wormwood, one of his cronies, and he says, listen, I'm going to capsulize your work. If you can get a Christ follower, a believer, to be complacent, fat, dumb, and happy, you've accomplished everything. This is not a time to be complacent. This is a time where we need to assemble together and worship. This is a time where we need to come together for discipleship. This is a time we need to come together to encourage and strengthen one another. This is a time where you need to be released to go and tell people, not in a brutal way, not without love, about the Jesus who saved you. and gave you peace. Now is the day. Now is the time. There's no excuse. Listen, I hate wearing masks just like most of you. But wear a mask, social distance, and listen, I know people that wearing a mask doesn't keep them from talking, okay? You can still talk. You can still build relationships. We are ambassadors for the King of Peace. Let me leave you with one last thought. Jesus was the only leader in history that built his kingdom on love, not force. Jesus never forced anybody to follow him. He invited. He never used any force of any type. He invited. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom that's based on love. And what he did for us in our place. God forbid we become complacent with our great salvation, our prayer life, the word of God. There are people in the world who would give anything, even just for a paragraph of the word of God, because it's illegal in their countries. And the Bible is still the most sold book in this country and the least read. May we never become complacent with the scriptures and our worship. The wow factor should be and only be the magnificent love and holiness of Jesus Christ and not the latest sensations or fads. And so, as we enter in this Holy Week, please reflect on Jesus riding in on a donkey. You know, listen, I know this is a tough topic to talk about, but did any of you ever see the Passion of the Christ? Okay. And it was brutal, it was gory, but I think it closely reflected what Jesus went through. And that wasn't the real agony. The real agony was when he hung on the cross and took on the sin of the world, your sin and mine, in our place, and for the first time, the Father turned his back on the Son. That's the real agony of the cross. Let us never, ever lose sight of how much it cost to see our sin nailed to the cross. Amen. As we close out the service, I chose two songs purposely. One's an old hymn, O Worship the King. I'm going to ask Kristen and Chip and Sharon to come up. I got to remember Sharon because she hasn't been here for several months. O Worship the King. And then we're going to follow that with Shout to the Lord. Because if you leave here today and you have opportunity to share the love of Christ with someone, please do it. Tell them your story. Church, we need to be the church. Would you stand, please?
Shield and defense.
Can I get an amen from the parking lot? Okay. Amen from the parking lot. I want to thank our guests for being here today. Thank you for coming. You're a blessing to us. We will not have a fog machine here next week. Okay. So,
but we will have it on order.
We will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we dismiss from this place today, I pray you send us off in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to love people and share our story with them. Father, we want to give you all the glory and the honor. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help us to enjoy the rest of the day and through the week. Help us to be a blessing to others. I pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. You're dismissed.
Amen.